All right, you're welcome back to class. Now we are moving into Faith Towards God, the Principles of the Doctrine of Christ, Module 2. The course title is Faith Towards God. We're just done with Repentance from Dead Works. Now, still on the principle of the Doctrine of Christ, we're looking at Faith Towards God. Ensure that you take proper notes and then you write your exams. Be prayerful over this, be open-hearted, and let the Lord minister to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The core objectives are, one, to provoke a thorough understanding of the biblical concepts of faith. To provoke a thorough understanding of the biblical concept of faith. There is a biblical concept of faith, and this teaching is to provoke very thorough understanding about that. Number two is to clearly outline the degrees and dimensions of the manifestation of faith. To clearly outline the degrees and the dimensions of the manifestation of faith. And then lastly, to outline what biblical faith is not, and as well elucidate the factors that inhibits the workings of faith. I take it again. The idea here is to outline what biblical faith is not, and as well elucidate or clarify the factors that inhibits the workings of faith. That inhibits the workings of faith. What it means is that we also want to clearly bring out the factors that hinders the workings of faith. Thank you, Lord. So the course outlines are, number one, faith towards God. What faith is not? Enemies of faith. Degrees of faith. These are the four major outlines or breakdown of our teaching today. Faith towards God, what faith is not, enemies of faith, degrees of faith. So let's begin with faith towards God, and we're going to start from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith towards God. I'll read it from the Amplified Version. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, or the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That's what the Amplified Version renders it to be. Now faith is the assurance, in parentheses, the confirmation or the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real or as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now, if you look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, you will see where it is written, you know, clearly written that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. They all say the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay. Now, what faith? Number one, mental assent. Faith is not mental assent. James chapter 2, verse 17 to 20. Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So you see, faith is not just what you believe in your heart that you will show up with works. Faith is an active word. It's very active. It's not just the belief that happens in the mind. So faith is not mental assent. It's not. And number two, faith is not presumption. It's not presumption. Psalm 19, verse 12 to 13. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumption sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The great transgression. So faith is not presumption, meaning that you don't presume faith. It's not disrespectful, it's not arrogant, it's not something that you also presume in your head that you think you have, but you don't have it. When you have faith, you know you have faith. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. See, the Egyptians thought they could cross the Red Sea because the other people were crossing. That was a very big presumption, an assumption in their heart. They felt, okay, because these people are people we know. So they just passed through this place and they wanted to follow, not knowing that they were moving by the revelation of God's word. It wasn't presumption. And when they attempted it, they drowned. This is why a lot of people go down in life, wanting to attempt what other people do by revelation. You want to do it without your own personal revelation, no personal encounter. That is presumption. Faith is not presumption. Number three, faith is not natural faith. We have natural faith. Every human being on earth has faith or have faith. When you sit on your seat, you sit because you have faith. When you board your vehicle and say, I'm going to so-so destination, and you pay money for it, it is because you have faith the driver will take you there. That's natural faith. Faith is not natural, it's spiritual. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 and verse 6. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's verse 6 now. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is spiritual. It's not natural. Faith is spiritual. It's not natural. Hallelujah. Now I want to look at enemies of faith. The enemies of faith. Number one, doubt. One major enemy of faith is doubt. James chapter 1 verse 5 to 8 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So when you walk in faith, you don't doubt. When you are set out to walk in faith, you don't doubt. You move all out with the full conviction of the word of God. You don't doubt your moves. You don't doubt the directions of God's word to you. So doubt is a major enemy of faith. Number two enemy of faith is unbelief. Unbelief. Mark chapter 11 verse 24 and Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2. Mark chapter 11 verse 24, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2. Now, Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. If you don't believe that you have received what you have prayed for, you cannot have it in the natural or in the physical realm. You have to believe in the spirit. Unbelief is a major enemy of faith. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that had it. So they didn't mix what they heard with faith. They lived in unbelief, and the word of God did not profit them. This shows us that there is profits, there is gain in the blessing in the word of God. But your faith will need to go to work. You need to mix what you are hearing with faith for the word of God to benefit you. Hallelujah. Number three enemy of faith is sin. Sin. John chapter 5 and verse 14. Sin. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, this was a story of a man that came to Jesus and asked for healing. And Jesus healed him and said to him, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. In other words, it was his sin that led to it. His sin led to that sickness. And Jesus said, as you go, don't sin again, so that the worst of this sickness will not come upon you again. All right? So sin is a major enemy of faith. If you walk in sin, you can't walk in faith. The Bible said, the just shall live by faith. It is the righteous one that will live by faith. An unrighteous person cannot live by faith. So unrighteousness, sin, is a major deflator of faith. Now, we're going to look at the degrees of faith. The degrees of faith. When a sinner receives salvation, he receives saving faith and is launched into the life of faith. For the just must live by faith. The moment you received Jesus Christ into your heart, you received salvation. You received what the Bible refers to as saving faith. And immediately you were launched into the life of faith. You were launched into the life of faith. The word of God declares that the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Now, I want to look at the various degrees of faith, the various dimensions of faith. Number one is no faith. A state of not being mindful of God. That is the point of no faith. You're not mindful of God. Now let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 18 and verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 18 and verse 20. Then we also look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 18 and 20 says, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very fraud generation, children in whom is no faith. So these persons are not mindful of God. They are unmindful of God, and they forgot the God that formed them, the God that brought them out of Egypt. God said, this generation is fraud generation, children in whom is no faith. Now look at Mark chapter 4 verse 40. He says, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So there is a degree of no faith. When we look into that person's heart, there is no faith at all. It means this person is not mindful of God. He's living a life of fear, a life that is driven by the spirit of fear. So that person is possessed of the spirit of fear and not possessed of the spirit of God. The mind has been occupied with fear, with terror. Number two is little faith. Little faith. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. Now, 8 verse 26 of Matthew says, "And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Little faith will give you little impact. Little impact. It will keep you in at the point of fear. You can be overwhelmed. You can be swallowed up by the ridges of the sea, by the ridges of life. You can be overshadowed. The enemy can clamp on you because of little faith. Matthew 14:31 says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" That's talking about when Jesus told Peter to walk, to come meet him on the sea. Jesus was walking on the sea, and the disciples saw him and were terrified at night. And Jesus said, "Be not afraid, I am the one." Peter said, "If you are the one, bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." The moment he began to come, he was walking on the sea, looking unto Jesus. But as he turned his face from Jesus and began to look at the wind, he began to sink into that water. He began to drown. All right. And Jesus quickly stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" Why did you doubt? Little faith. Little faith is dangerous. With little faith, you can be drowned. With little faith, the enemy can overwhelm you. Little faith. Now, there is weak faith. The faith is not little. The faith is there, but it's weak. It's like when your battery is weak. You have your battery. Your battery is still very good in your phone, but it's weak because of overuse. Romans chapter 14 and verse 1 to 2. "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs." See, some persons are not confident to attempt certain things, to eat certain things. They say, "No, I can't eat this thing. This thing is food meant for idols, food meant for this." So you limit the opportunity and the possibilities that you can enjoy in Christ because of weak faith. And whatever is not done of faith is sin. That is why you have to build your faith strong, great, so that you will be able to attempt everything that the Lord directs you to attend. Then we have dead faiths. We have dead faiths. We have dead faiths. James chapter 2 verse 17. "Even so, faith, if it hath no works, is dead, being alone." So faith can be dead. Dead faith. When you don't attach work with your faith, there is no work to prove your faith. There is no action to prove your faith. Then the faith is dead. The faith will be in the state of comatose. Then number 5, we have vain faiths. Please put down all of these points. Vain faiths. You check yourself where you are. Where is your faith? At what was the degree of your faith? Vain faiths. That's empty faiths. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14. "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. All right. So if you don't believe in the resurrection, you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in the fullness of all the opportunities in Jesus. You don't believe in resurrection. You don't believe in ascension. You don't believe in the life after now. All there is for you about faith is life of today, life in the present. Then it means that your faith is empty, vain faith. Then number 6, we have great faith. Hallelujah. Great faith. Take note of all of this. Luke chapter 7 and verse 9. Luke chapter 7 and verse 9. "When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith." No, not in Israel. Great faith. Great faith. We have steadfast faith. Steadfast faith. That's number 7, steadfast faith. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5 to 6. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk ye in him. Your faith will need to be steadfast. The same way you received Jesus by faith, the same way you walk in Christ. Continue. That's a faith that is continuous, that is steadfast. Continue in that same way, that manner. The same way you received salvation, in the same way you receive healing, the same way you receive finances, the same way you receive, you know, grace, the same way you receive the wisdom of God, the same way you receive the power to do effective ministry. Steadfast, be steadfast. Don't blow hot and cold at the same time. Don't be strong in salvation, but you are weak in your health, and you are weak in the matter of prosperity, for your finance. You are weak in other areas. You must be steadfast. The word here says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. In other words, continue in the same way you received Christ. How did you receive Christ? You believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth. So you have to believe your health with your heart, believing it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. You have to believe your prosperity in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Be steadfast. That is steadfast faith. Hallelujah. Then number 8, we have rich faith. Rich faith. Rich faith. Thank you, Lord. James chapter 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. James 2, 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Had not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him? So you can be poor on earth and be rich in your faith. That's possible. Very, very possible. Very, very possible. So there is such a thing as rich faith. And you can be very rich in this earth and very poor in faith. So there is rich faith. Rich faith. Then we have unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Unfeigned faith. What it means is that your faith is sincere, pure faith, sincere faith. 1 Timothy 1:5 and 2 Timothy 1:5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Faith unfeigned. That means the whole essence of the word of God is to produce in you charity that is out of a pure heart, a pure motive, a display of love out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of pure faith, unfeigned faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that means sincere faith. So it means that you cannot, some people are not sincere in their faith. They don't have sincere faith. But it's such a thing as sincere faith or unfeigned faith, using Bible language, that is in you, was talking to Timothy, which dwells first in thy grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. I am persuaded that is also in thee. So you see, what powered Timothy's grandmother Lois was pure faith, sincere faith. And the mother Eunice, sincere faith. Say, I am persuaded that this unfeigned and sincere faith is also in you. Your faith must be sincere. Then lastly, is strong faith. Hallelujah. Strong faith. Romans chapter 4 and verse 19 to 20. This is powerful. I love this. He said, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, talking about Abraham, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider that. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. This is ultimate. It means that the reality is on ground. You're not denied the unreality, but you say to yourself, my eyes, my consideration is not on you. I'm not saying that I'm not old. I'm not saying the womb is not dead. I'm not saying that my account is flat. But I'm saying that my consideration is not in you. There is something else that is my consideration. I'm considering the promise of God. Now, before you walk in strong faith, you have to relate with God so personally to the point where you can draw promises from Him. Pick those words that are settled in heaven and tell yourself, I will focus and consider this word more than the realities on ground in me and around me. Be strong in faith. Such faith gives glory to God. You keep praising God as though His word is fulfilled, because you believe that His word that is settled in heaven is as good as settled in your life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is the end of this teaching. This is short and brief, but very powerful. And I want you to pay very close attention in meditating on this, writing your notes, and writing your exams. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.